on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield, live from Born and Raised. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Cofield, Russ Langer, and Caleb Herring.
A very pleasant good evening to you live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road for the Tony Sanchez Show. And glad you could join us out here. The Rebels coming off a 52-24 victory over UTEP. And we had head coach Tony Sanchez right here. We've got Caleb Herring here. Mr. Cofield is on assignment, so we may be hearing from him later. But first of all, a word about our hosts here. At Born and Raised, and they got two locations, Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, and right here, we're here in Henderson, off of Eastern. That's the Henderson location. The promos at both locations during all UNLV games, $3 Bud Light or Michelob Ultra Drafts, $4 Estrella Jalisco Drafts, $20 100-ounce Towers of Bud Light or Mick Ultra, and $20 Buckets of Bud Light or Mick Ultra bottles. They've got a brand new happy hour, and it's huge with 40 items to choose from, including all appetizers and sliders, all for $6 or less. And we're going to go over some promos for the NFL games they've got going. Born and Raised is a great host for us for a lot of years now. Coach, how goes it today?
It goes good. Excited to be back out here with you. And we got the show rolling now from Born and Raised, so it's good to get that all said and done. And good to be talking Rebel football.
I see. I got your alignment and assignment lined up right here in front of you.
I got an order of the Best Coast Tots, so they look pretty good.
Wow. They look amazing, actually. I don't know what's on it, but it looks like a lot, and it looks like a lot of good stuff.
There you go.
And it looks completely healthy, too. So, I mean, you guys can't beat that.
Exactly.
All right. The Rebels knock off UTEP, and Coach, certainly the offense started fast. They scored on five of the first six possessions. So let's start with a fast start by the offense.
Yeah, it was good to see. You know, we had done some really good things the week before, but they hadn't put it together for four quarters. So it was nice to see us come on out and run the ball the way that we had. And then Armani completed some of those big strikes down the field. So it was good early on. You know, we really drew those guys into the box, drew those safeties that we had talked about last week down, which we needed to do. And when the first time they did, you know, we were able to hit Mekhi Stevenson on a nice touchdown. And then later on, we got a pass interference on another time shooting over the top. So it was good to see Armani come out and complete some balls early and Lex do his thing, and the offensive line looked really good. So offensively, we were really happy with the production.
You talked a little bit last week also about starting off and doing things the right way, not necessarily pushing for the big play. How would you assess the offense's doing it the right way approach to last week?
Yeah, I mean, we knew that we needed to be physical, you know, that either going to try to stop the run. And you know, I thought, you know, we really committed to it early on. Barney did a really good job of putting the guys in good situations, and we got downhill, and, you know, and they weren't, you know, big, huge run breakoffs early, but they were five, and they were six, and they were seven. They were kind of methodical, which we kind of wanted them to do, and once we kind of lulled them into that, it was able to get the big plays over the top.
Let's talk about the defensive start. The Rebels had to adjust to the UTEP quarterback, Kyle Loxley's kind of zone run game, and once they settled down, they really seemed to play well.
They did. You know, early on, you know, they hit us. You know, they hit the ball up the middle a couple times and hit some seams on it. You know, we didn't do a good job of tackling at the safety position. Got better as the game went on, but that first drive, you know, they took it right down our throat and, you know, scored. And then after our score, they answered back, driving right down the field again. And Javen White had a great tackle that got us back in the huddle. And then from that point on, we settled down. We ended up getting them off schedule. They tried a quarterback run again, stopped that. On third down, Gabe McCoy made a big play and held him to a field goal. And then from that point on, when we went down and scored to take an even bigger lead, the defense really settled down and played solid football for the next two quarters, really.
Is it kind of the punch in the mouth that you need sometimes from your coaching standpoint to have your guys have a wake-up call like that? I mean, the response drive by UTEP going down, marching down, nobody expected that. Nobody saw that coming the way they drove down that first drive.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you look at, you know, again, a week ago, playing against, you know, a top, you know, offense, and, you know, the guys do a really good job of buckling down and making really good plays, tackling well, and, you know, just not giving anything up. And, you know, and then this team comes out and runs the ball right at us. So, you know, it's disappointing to see the start, but it was good to see them settle down and get going. But yeah, unfortunately, sometimes you do need to be punched in the mouth. You don't want it to happen too often.
We're going to break the game down in further detail, but also another point here, Coach, as we visit with Tony Sanchez and the Tony Sanchez Show. The Rebels also scored on four of their five red zone chances. In fact, the only exception was at the end of the game when they took a knee when the game was on ice.
Yeah, we were perfect in the red zone. We talked to the guys about that a week ago when we were talking. We talked about, you know, not winning the third down battle, not winning the red zone battle, or the turnover battle, and we won all of those this game. So that was really good to see, giving ourselves four opportunities. We scored from outside of the red zone a couple of times. But getting in there and putting the ball in the end zone is a big thing. We need to continue to do that and continue to own that.
All right. Rebels started off. They went up 7-0. Rogers 51-yard pass to Mekhi Stevenson. UTEP tied it right away in the run by Loxley. What were some of the adjustments that were made on D after that first UTEP drive?
Well, they were running a split zone. They were looking. They were reading our three technique. You know, gapped out, so the safety had to do a really good job, you know, of filling that alley. And you know, one time he early in the game made Dalton Baker miss and went right up the chute for a big game that resulted in a touchdown. And then the second big, they had two really big runs right up the chute, both of them inside A and B gaps. So again, we adjusted. You know what people were doing. You know, we adjusted, you know, our safety fits, what we were doing up front, and we were able to settle down and stop them doing that. But that was really it. It wasn't nothing overly complicated. It was just being gapped out.
All right. The Rebels then went up 14-7. Touchdown run by Tylee Collins, and on the next UTEP possession, Gabe McCoy sacked the quarterback on a big third down. They had to settle for a field goal. And so that was a nice stop at the D.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, again, you know, being able to methodically move down there and, you know, get that big score, and then you know, again, come back with Tylee. And nice to see the young guy get in the end zone. You know, I think he's got a lot of good football ahead of him, so that was exciting to see. And then, you know, again, like I said, defense settled down, got the stop, and from there played really well. But that's, you know, that's part of the game. You know, everyone, again, they're all Division I football players, they're all well coached, and so you better be ready to go each week.
Talk about Gabe McCoy a little bit on defense. You talked about getting their offense off schedule a little bit, and because of that, on third and long, you're able to kind of let him go as a pass rusher. And he showed some exciting potential and energy getting into the backfield a couple of times. Talk about what it means to have him pinning his ears back and letting him get after the quarterback a little bit.
You know, Gabe's so good at that. He does a great job of getting up the field and being disruptive. And, you know, he's an older guy. He's been around for a long time. You know, he's a junior right now, and he's as fast, as physical, as twitchy as he's ever been. Understands the game. He's just, you know, he's a more mature, evolved football player, and you're starting to see it week in and week out. And that's 2 weeks in a row we've been able to get pressure on the quarterback, and that's something that we really struggled with in the past. So if we can continue to do that down the long haul, it's going to make a big difference for us.
First play of the second quarter, Armani Rogers scooped up a low snap and then ran for a touchdown and made it 21-10.
Yeah, that was a third down, too. You know, I tell you what, we're excited that we scored, but we got to execute that a lot better. You know, Lexington Thomas did a phenomenal job. Ball on the ground, he immediately chipped the defensive end instead of diving on the ball. Armani picked it up, and it almost looked like a lock follow play. So, again, that was good. I'm glad we scored on that. You know, wish it was a little cleaner, though.
It shows some growth by both of those players. Yeah. Able to, when things break down, not panic and kind of still do what you need to do.
100% right, Caleb. I mean, that's exactly what they did. And it's good to see. I mean, there's just no panic, you know, a lot of maturity in the group.
Then the defense came up with some possession stops. Gabe McCoy sacked Loxley again. That gave the Rebels the ball back, and they took advantage of a 40-yard touchdown burst by Lexington Thomas, and then at that point you're up 28-10.
Yeah, Lex was amazing. I mean, he's just so hard to take down. That, you know, that was a nice run where he cut right, and, you know, it looked like he was about to get hemmed up, and two guys bounced right off him. And, you know, he's deceivingly strong. I mean, yeah, he really is. I mean, he's we all know how fast he is, but he's a really strong player, and you saw it on that snap.
All right, then Evan Pantels, when the Rebels got the ball back, a 35-yard field goal, made it 31-10. And then, and you touched on this a moment ago, Javen White with a huge interception.
Yeah, Javen gets a big pick, which was really needed, you know. And, again, turnovers, we talked about that. Turnovers and, you know, pressure on the quarterback was something that we struggled with a year ago. So now, you know, week one, we didn't get one. We gave one up. And then this game, also, you know, we got two of them, but we got the ball on the ground a couple more times than that. And we got to continue to do that. But Javen's played really well the first 2 weeks.
His ability to cover in space on receivers is something that I think goes overlooked, because he's not necessarily a nickelback or anything like that, but he's able to cover in space. There's a couple times where in man coverage he was, like, locked onto the receiver. How good is that to have him able to run downfield and make plays in the passing game?
It's phenomenal, because you don't have to change your personnel, you know, and it kind of leaves them wondering, okay, what are we going to do? Because a lot of times there's such a difference in that nickel to that, you know, to that backer, that, you know, you're just assuming, okay, defense deserves the call sheet. Well, you don't know it. And he's a guy we recruited as a safety, you know, played safety his first, you know, year or so, and then we ended up dropping him into the box. So he's kind of that hybrid. So he can actually get out there on an island sometimes, be matched up with a tight end, be matched up with a slot, and actually do it well, and you saw that.
All right, then at that point, the Rebels had maybe their most impressive drive of the night. From their own 7, 93 yards on only 7 plays, and then it was capped by the Rodgers TD strike to Darren Woods with 22 seconds left in the half, and the Rebels are flying at that point 38-10.
Yeah, that was great to kind of, you know, put the nail in the coffin there. You know, it was nice to, you know, again, we talked about a week ago, you know, us not executing at the end of the half. You know, we felt like we should have had a, you know, 21-12 lead, and instead you're down 19, you know, 14 in that situation. So this half, we ended totally different. The defense got the stop that we didn't get a week ago. The offense went down, executed, and we were able to score that touchdown. So that was really good. And what I really like about it is I told Barney, you know, hey, you know, let's be a little conservative here. We got a nice lead. We're inside our own 7-yard line. If we get the first down, then we'll get aggressive. And so we methodically, you know, moved the ball a little bit, weren't over-aggressive, got the first down. From there, we said NASCAR, and the boys went right down and executed it well.
But so what goes in? You mentioned it, just the first down, getting that first down, because you said starting on your own 7, that's a dicey situation. You don't want to turn it over or force the issue and give them great field position with a chance to score. So what, as a coach, what gives you the signal to go ahead and go for the touchdown? Is it just that first down, or is it something else that you see schematically with your offense?
Well, you know, when you punt the ball, your punter's going to be 15 yards deep. So when you're on the 7, he's sitting there 2 yards from the back of the end line. You've got a lead in that game. You know, you're up 31-10. You know, again, nothing's ever comfortable, but you look at that and go like, all right, risk-reward factor here. You know, let's make sure we give him a full area. I'd like him punting from outside of the end zone if possible. And at the same time, you know, you don't want giving them the ball back with a half a field. So, you know, once we were able to get that first down, moved it out to right about the 17-yard line, it's like, okay, now we got a full field. We had a couple timeouts left. Now let's go attack.
Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. Tony, you emphasized the importance of a fast start, and the team really responded. They ran the ball right at them. They were very physical. Then you got, and that first drive to, as you mentioned, drop their safeties in the box and go over the top of that pass to Mekhi Stevenson.
Yeah, it was. I mean, again, it was really workmanlike. You know, when you watch the guys out there, they did a good job. You know, there was no silly penalties early on, no false starts. We did a really good job at the point of attack. Again, we weren't throwing the ball a bunch, but we were efficient when we were early in the game. Fell off a little in the second half, but early on, we just did simple things well.
All right. Also, a big pass to Brandon Presley. Got him to get out of that kind of an umbrella deal.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, you know, the early on, they had the pass interference to Presley,
right,
which was a big deal. And so, to me, those things are just like completions. Anytime you got to make them respect that and they got to grab on you to stop big plays, that's a big deal. So, the way we run the football, we're going to have to stress defenses vertically all year long. I mean, if you're going to run the ball the way we do, it's going to force people to load the box. And then you better, like in the past, we struggled throwing that vertical ball down the field. You know, Armani, he's good at it, and we've got a bunch of fast receivers. So those things go hand in hand.
Great way to close a half, though.
Absolutely. Anytime you score a touchdown, it's great, right?
Yeah, there you go. then at halftime, let's give it an idea what you said to the guys to make sure that they came out and executed in the second half.
Hey, we just, you know, walked in real quick to remind them, hey, we got a long way to go, a lot of things to get better at. You know, defensively, started slow. Let's see if we can start better in the second half. You know, offensively, let's continue to do the same thing I brought up a week ago, how the defense, you know, I told those guys, hey, you need to play a third quarter just like you did and really finish the fourth. I said, offense, you got to get out of the locker room and play much better than we did last week in the third quarter. Let's show that we can evolve and grow. Score makes no difference. So it was really good to see us get the turnover immediately and score right away. Got a little stale after that, you know. I mean, sometimes you get those leads and you start rotating different guys in, the dynamics change a little bit. And, you know, again, we got to grow in that aspect. But it was really good to come on out, get a turnover, and get a touchdown.
All right, we're going to take our first break on the Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels. We'll be back with a whole lot more. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
And welcome back, Rebel fans, to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, Henderson. I'd like to remind you that you don't have to miss a big play while checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen. without interrupting the game. Visit Cox.com/contour to learn more.
That's Caleb Herring. I'm Russ Langer, along with head coach Tony Sanchez. And Tony's in the middle of killing half the menu here. And it's amazing food they have here at Born and Raised. And speaking of Born and Raised, we touched on the new happy hour. They also have promos for all NFL games. Same beer specials as UNLV, $3 Bud, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra Drafts, $4 Estrella Jalisco Drafts, $20 100-ounce Towers of Bud, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra, $20 Buckets of Bud, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra Bottles. Also, for the NFL games, not only to get all that, but $5 Jägermeister shots and $5 Absolute Bloody Marys on Sunday. So, all kinds of stuff. Born and raised on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango, or where we are tonight. We're in Henderson, as Caleb said, and we're off Eastern, and it's a great atmosphere here with TVs all over the place and just great food and great atmosphere overall. Also, the show is brought to you in part by Dignity Health, where we know no one wants to be in an ER waiting room for long. That's why we offer a service that allows you to wait at home, because healing takes more than medicine. It also takes understanding. Learn more at strosehospitals.org/ER. Did I give you enough time to finish that one thing right there?
Yeah, that chicken cat soup slider. It was pretty good.
Nice.
I was starving when I got here, so this is working out well.
Rebels victorious home win. That's got to be outstanding for the whole troop.
Yeah, anytime you win a game, it's a big deal. I mean, you know, the amount of hours and time these guys put into this, it's unbelievable. You know, between coaches and off the field staff and your players. I mean, everyone's just, I mean, they're all so in. And, you know, early in the year, too, you work so hard, you know, from spring ball all the way through the summertime, camp. You go out there, you know, you play good, you know, tough week one. You don't want to come away with the win. You just want to get those guys that taste as early as you can. Now the goal is to go out and, you know, see if we can start stacking them a little bit. You know, haven't had too many runs, you know, in the last bunch of years where we've been able to win back-to-back games, and it's a great opportunity to do it, and then you can move on from there.
They're a really good rotation of running backs in this game between Lex and Charles Williams and Xavier Campbell, Armani Rogers, all in double digits and carries, and I would think, Tony, that's especially important in a hot night like the one we had.
That's big. I mean, when you look at the carry ratio, that's what we've tried to build, and we've got it now. I mean, you had Lex who had 17 carries. You had Armani with, I believe, 12 or 14. You had Charles with 12. You had Campbell with 10, or maybe it's opposite with those two. And then even Evan Owens had 4 carries. I mean, so you got a bunch of guys carrying the rock, and it's not all, you know, end of the game. I mean, it's throughout the course of the game. Different guys are, I mean, you saw first series of the game, both Chuck and, you know, Lex carried the ball, and then, you know, you got into the third series, and all of a sudden, here's Campbell carrying the ball, and I think the fifth series, Evan Owens was carrying it, and Armani intermittent. So, you know, that's a good look if you're talking about playing well for 12 straight weeks, you know, having the depth O-line, then having all those different running backs that go on in there, and, you know, it's by far the most talented and deepest group we've had.
We talked about the two different styles that you guys have, because you have two kind of smaller scat backs, if you will, with Charles and Lex, and then with X and with Evan Owens also. He's a big body. Those two are kind of bruisers in between the tackles. Is there any difference in the way that you call the plays for those running backs, or is it pretty much the same offense no matter who's back there?
There's some subtle differences. I mean, there's certain things that, you know, I mean, without giving away too much, there's certain things that you do. There's some general plays. That, like, we're running Kansas, our inside zone stuff. All four of them are going to run that. There's some other stuff that maybe one or two, you know, Chuck is, you know, a little bit more of a downhill guy than, you know, in between the tackles than Lex would be, right? Lex is a little bit more on the outside. Evan Owens has more outside in him than Campbell does. So there are some, you know, some crossovers in the two. But, yeah, there are some things we choose from different menus on.
Javon White, we mentioned him in the first segment, but he came up big after the second big run that UTEP had. At 7-7, he held them made that tackle down the field after a safety miss, and UNLV held him to a field goal.
Yeah, you know, it's when we came in on Monday and we had our team meeting, I had about a 5 or 6 play cut up, some things that I wanted to see. You know, we had a guy who scored who kind of walked across the goal line. I explained how we don't do that at this level. We run across the goal line. But one of the plays, actually, I showed two plays, and twice Javon White in the first two series made a tackle from behind to get us back in the huddle, and that's winning football. You do that enough, you're going to give yourselves a chance to be successful, and that's a guy that's all in. He gets it. He's playing his guts out, and, I mean, those are the type of things we need to celebrate.
I remember being a player, and every week after a game, win or lose, we'd have those kind of plays. Either it was a coaching point where that's not the effort we want, or is that something that you do also with your team weekly, coming in, no matter what, win or loss, look at this film and let's see the effort on the film?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about it all the time. Lyman-Simon technique with fanatical effort. you know, when we see plays that, you know, when we see efforts that are less than expected, we need to call it out. Without, you know, being overly critical on the individual, we need to call out that that's not who we are. And when we do see those great efforts, we call them gattas. When we see those things, we need to be fired up about it, because those guys want your praise. You know, the young guys need to see what's important and what our value system is based on. And when we see those things, we show them.
Looks like the drills emphasizing techniques are paying off. The less arm tackling, which we've seen in the past, and more wrapping guys up.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to some ESPN, you know, they're doing some of the national radio on the way over here, and they're talking to some different coaches and stuff. And, you know, the one thing I can't harp on enough is, you know, we've got a team that the overwhelming majority of them are redshirted. Overwhelming majority. I'm talking over 80% of our roster is redshirted, right? It's a slower process, but it's a better process, because you're going to create a better product, an older kid, an older version. So a lot of these things, it didn't happen just by accident. It's repetition, repetition, repetition over years and years and years. It's not like we invented drills that are just fixing all the problems, right? Coach Skip and them are doing a great job, but we've worked on tackling for a long time. We've just done it with, you know, some different guys or younger guys. I mean, Gabe McCoy, Javen White, Soli Afalava, Bailey Loalangi, you know, Salanoa Wiley, Soli Afalava. These guys have been doing these same drills, but now they've been doing them for 4 years and they're only juniors. You know, so they're just getting better at being college football players because they're older, more mature, and we should continue to see that as we move forward, because all these other young guys, we've redshirted behind them and after them.
So I'm glad you brought it up, because it's one of the things that I always talk about or bring up when we're talking about coaching and college football and even in NFL. A lot of people are very impatient when it comes to production on the field on Saturdays. They don't understand the process behind it. To hear you say that about the redshirt, I never even considered about the redshirt. I'm just thinking about a coaching turnover standpoint in college football. But the redshirting aspect, how valuable that redshirt year is for athletes to develop good habits and to practice under one coaching regime.
There's no doubt, you know, and that's the whole thing is, you know, what is the plan when you get there, you know, from your administration all the way down? Are you guys all on the same page? And I've said it before, and I know Len's not here, but Len was really big about, hey, don't make short-term decisions, do it for the long term, do it the right way. And so when you got guys like Armani and all your quarterbacks are done, you know, they're hurting, what do? You don't pull the red shirt, you leave them there, right? And now you look, I mean, it's not just him, you look at like our offensive line, you know, Justin Polo's a redshirt junior, you know, and you look at Donovan Outlaw, he's a redshirt sophomore now, and you know, you look at Sidikos as a redshirt junior, and Singer's a redshirt junior, you know, and I mean, when you look at him, we did a deal yesterday because we're talking about, you know, next year's recruiting, we're always recruiting, right? So when we hit the road next year, we're going to bring in 23 new scholarship players. There'll be, 86 returning players on our roster, 43 on offense. 39 of the 43 players returning are all redshirted.
That's huge.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's just you're an older group. And defensively, I think out of the 39, 26 are redshirted. So, you know, again, you take the time to develop and you're going to get a better product. You just got to hope still there when the product's done.
Right? Yeah. So I wanted to follow up real quick. Thanks for having me, by the way.
What's going on?
That's Steve Cofield.
Yeah. He's going to help you with some of this food.
I'm going to grab some.
You got Harper, you know, Groucho and Chico. Now we got Zeppo.
There you go. I had to finish up Cofield and Company. So we're over here in Henderson and born and raised. I just wanted to follow up on that. When you hear, you mentioned you were listening to some national radio. When you hear analysts, talk show hosts, express a 2 or 3 year leash for a coach, especially at some of these big time programs. Like you watch 3 years in, if Scott Frost is not with, you know, Nebraska at 10 wins, people will start flipping out.
Well, the crazy thing is that's the example they were using.
Okay.
You know, they were talking about how there are certain schools where, you know, they've just evolved. You know, you recruit the 6'5 to 6'7, 235 pound offensive lineman. It's going to be 3 years before that guy can play college football. And all of a sudden now you got a guy that's, you know, the 6'6, 6'7. Now he's 295 to 310 pounds, but it took a while to get there. So it takes a while to fill the pipeline like that.
Yep.
A lot of these big programs, they go out and, you know, and their administration is holding to the colds on stars. They got to have so many 4 and 5 stars, which I think is ridiculous. What was it, 2 years ago we had a Super Bowl with not one player that was above a 3-star? Not a bad stat, right?
Yep.
So you're feeling the stress of having to bring these big-time guys in, and then people are expecting them to come in and make an immediate impact. There's only so many of those kids out there that can truly come in, and they're not coming to UNLV right now. Let's just be honest, right? So if we're ever going to get this program rolling, it's going to be by investing. We're going to have to invest, invest, invest. And in our profession, we invest in time, right?
So now, again, we're only two games into this. We got a long way to go. We'll see how it all turns out. But I think we look different out there. I think we look bigger. I think we look faster. I think we look stronger. I think we look more mature. And, you know, hopefully that all translates into wins. We believe it will. But it didn't happen by accident. It happened by taking the process slowly, the right way, and investing in it and doing it every single day in the way you recruit.
And every coach is under pressure.
Pressure makes you fresher, right?
And I can tell you it's the same thing in basketball.
No doubt.
Because Marvin Menzies is under the same pressure. Obviously, UNLV basketball has hit, you know, high levels in the past. But Marvin will tell you, and I'm sure you talked to him, that he wants to build a program that has 3- and 4-year players. And the one-and-dones, it was nice having Brandon McCoy around a year ago, but you're not going to make a living off of those players.
No, you're not. You know, and it's hard. And you're right, there is. I think the biggest thing is you just have to have conviction in your plan and what you're doing and just be completely okay with, hey, however it turns out, you know, you kind of did it like Sinatra, you know. and so if you do that, then you're always going to make decisions you feel are best for the program, not best for survival. So we've done that. We've believed in it. And, you know, here we are now, you know, getting, you know, into year four of this thing. And again, you know, you look at it too, and you know, I know offensively and even defensively, I mean, you look at the amount of guys that are productive right now in the two deep on offense. We have 3 seniors. We have 1 senior receiver out of like the 14. We have 1 senior offensive lineman out of the 18 guys. We have 1 senior tight end of the group. I mean, you start looking at that, and you know, we've got, I mean, a lot of guys coming back too. So we're older, but we're still young.
And how many times along the way, early on, when you were redshirting guys, were you like, oh boy? Yeah. Like, we're taking lumps right now, and I'm not liking this, but I have to stick to the plan.
Yeah, you know, when it really gets you is when you're sitting there in week 7 and week 8 and 9, and you've got a bunch of injuries, and you're sitting there scratching your head going, like, what do we do here, you know? Great thing is the rules have changed. I wish they would have changed a couple years ago. You have that 4-game rule. So, like, for example, this week we got Chad Magyar and Austin Ajike, right? 2 freshman guys. You know, one's a linebacker, one's a running back. They're playing this week, so we've activated them. They're starting on 4 special teams. So we'll see how they do these next 2 weeks, and then if they're really light it up, we may actually hold them back and then calculate to use them later. So we're going to roll some of these guys in. If we could have done that in the past, and every coach would be saying the same thing, though. Everybody wish you could have done that in the past. But again, we believed in what we were doing, and we didn't feel it was necessary to do that, because we knew, honestly, we were going to play hard as hell, but we weren't really talented early on, and now we feel like we're talented, so we can be more calculated about our decisions.
Second half began, and right away, the Rebels they were able to set the tone. Loxley fumbled for UTEP. Farrell Hester right there, big motivator to recover that ball at the 12-yard line.
Yeah, that was big. I mean, anytime you get a turnover like that, give your own offense a chance to score right away, it's big. And it was great to see the offense do just that, score right away.
Score right away. Then, of course, UTEP did answer, but by then it's 45-17. And then we arrive in the fourth quarter, and the first thing Armani does is find Collins for a touchdown. It's 52-17.
Yeah, I mean, again, they just did a really good job of executing all night and doing some good things. There are a couple lulls. I mean, you know, again, you know, offensively, I thought in that third quarter a little bit, we had, I think, 5 of 6 plays we threw incomplete balls, and they just looked a little rushed and a little sloppy, and then we kind of came to balance and played better. We didn't want to take Armani out after that. We wanted him to go in and have some success out there and, you know, complete some balls. That was good, you know, and defensively played really well. And the great thing, though, is, you know, they had 70 offensive snaps. We didn't have a single defensive lineman play 40 snaps in the entire game, right? We didn't have a single corner play 40 snaps in the entire game. We had 1 safety that played into the 50s. So, I mean, all of a sudden now you're starting to see that depth, too, and you're starting to see guys stay fresher, which we, again, been struggled to do in the past.
On the subject of Collins' touchdown number 2, you were okay with touchdown number 2, right? The way he went into the end zone?
It was better, but
I saw him go in, I'm like, I don't know if he got the message. You want to tell people the message you gave him on touchdown number 1?
Yeah, I said he'd run faster. It may have been different than that, but, you know.
It's not all you said.
So right before you walked in, I told these guys, so I did a cut-up, a 6-play cut-up, and 2 of the snaps we showed was his first touchdown and the second touchdown, and Ty Leak's a stud. I mean, he owned it. He's great with it. He's going to be a great football player, and I love the kid, but that's not our standard. That's not who we are. We run our ass through the goal line, and we hand the ball to the official, pardon my language, but that's what we do. That's who we are, no matter what, and he gets it.
The Tony Sanchez Show, the Rebels victorious in their home opener over UTEP, 52-24, back with a whole lot more, and this right here, born and raised, what a great, great, great spot for this or any show. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Tony Sanchez Show here at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road with two locations. We're at the Henderson location tonight off the Eastern and, of course, on Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango. Born and Raised. You're going to feature Bar Plinko for all Sunday night and Monday night NFL games. Guests can play Bar Plinko. Every guest gets a paper jersey of an offensive player from that night's game, and if your player scores, you get to play Plinko for a chance to win one of the following or more than one of the following. Tickets to an NFL game. Passes for Pole Position Raceway, car wash, appetizers, beer towers, shirts, and hats, all from Born and Raised. And now a word from our highly compensated announcer sitting to my left.
Finley Chevrolet is your home for... Woo! Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to... Woo! Finley Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, and that is number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Fine new roads.
And that's why he's highly compensated. You better believe it.
That was pretty good.
I'm telling you.
I want to hear that from stands this week.
Hey, I'll try it, Coach. I'll try to get it down there, too.
And a reminder that the new 2019 Toyotas have arrived at Findlay Toyota. Come see them today. Findlay Toyota, the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada for the best selection and the best price. It's Findlay Toyota.
Plinko. Dez Bryant. Would that be a long shot? He's actually not on the team, but he did watch a concert the other day in Jerry Jones' owner's box, Cowboys-Giants on Sunday night. That'd be kind of crazy.
That would be nuts.
New personnel. New personnel. Hard to manage guys who have egos. Sometimes. Right?
They make a lot more money than the coaches do.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Well, the Rebels really dominated. 538 yards offense, 414 of that on the ground. And for Armani Rogers, his first three-touchdown passing game, his third 100-yard rushing game. And he seems like he's becoming more and more well-rounded all the time. His vertical passing has improved, and he's making it tough for opponents to prepare for him.
Yeah, you know, he's done a good job. I mean, I think the stat you like the most is the 5 touchdown passes and no interceptions. You know, he's not putting the ball in jeopardy. Week one, I thought he put the ball in the money pretty much all day. This last game, he threw the ball down the field well with a lot of accuracy. The quick game, short game wasn't as accurate. We need to clean that up a little bit as we go along the season. But I tell you what, you know, when the guy's giving you 100 and some odd yards rushing, when he's giving you 3 touchdown passes, when he's making good decisions and you know, and making all those decisions about when to hand it, when to pull it, and doing so many different things. I mean, he's so dynamic and he's getting better every week. So, you know, we're excited about it, and you know. He continues to progress and grow like he has, continues to show that leadership skills that he has with the talented group of guys that he has around him. I think he can have a special year.
Outside of the production on the stat sheet, some of the things that I've noticed just watching him from last year to this year, his recognition of defense. He talks about the read option and things like that in a running game, but also there was a play specifically where he recognized a corner blitz. And I can remember vividly last year there was a corner blitz from the boundary. He had no idea what was coming, and he was completely shocked that this guy came. Last week, he recognized it, tried to get out to the hot route to the receiver on the outside, just couldn't connect with him. But those are some of the ways that you don't really see on the stat sheet that he's growing up as a quarterback.
No doubt. You know, we always teach these guys throw into the blitz. Don't throw away from the blitz, you throw into the blitz. And he did. He recognized it. And, again, he rushed it. You know, he rushed the throw. So once he just gets calmer a little bit, you know, sets his feet right, makes those things. I mean, again, if the decision-making's not there, there's not much you can do with it. So it's good to see the decision-making there, and then he'll continue to evolve with the mechanics.
It's kind of scary, actually. Armani's ahead of where Lex was at the same stage, two games into his sophomore year.
I told that to the staff the other day. We were laughing, going, think about this. When Lexington was done with year two, he's where Armani is today. Rushing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
By the way, there is a method to my madness, mentioning Dez Bryant and tying it to Armani in terms of ego. I don't think Armani has one. I think he's confident. But I don't think he has a big ego. And I'll give you the smallest example, and maybe this is silly and it's just what happens, but watching him come off the field, I think at that point you guys were up 45-10, correct me if I'm wrong, when Max was getting ready to go in and play some quarterback. I watch Armani walk by, barely celebrates, picks up a football, and is ready to warm up with the backup quarterback.
Right away.
I was like, well, that's kind of cool.
Yep, I'm telling you, and I'm glad you saw that. I mean, immediately, he didn't have, you know, Kenyon or one of the other guys. He did it himself. That's his boy. I mean, he's going to go get him ready, you know. And it's funny, I mean, just little things like, you know, you notice little things from these guys, because as they start to have success, you're just hoping that they stay humble. There's so many guys that, you know, over the years when you coach, you see, they just change. It changes them a little bit. But, like, for example, you'll be at practice, and, you know, he needs some water, and we're training to hand him a water bottle. He always says, thank you. thank you. He hands it back. I mean, you know, he opens the door. I mean, he's just a polite kid, you know, and he appreciates everything he has and everything he's doing and everyone around him. So when you have a quarterback like that, people will run through a wall for him. And, you know, they all believe in him. They love him. They're going to play hard for him.
Something else I noticed, too, just going back to fall camp, just a couple practices I went out to, there was a practice where one of the centers was having some trouble with snaps, and there was a couple of wild snaps. And usually, you know, that the quarterback, the starting guy says, hey, to the backups, go work on some snaps. And so he's right. Armani State, he was the last guy leaving off the practice field getting extra snaps with the center. One of the things that you don't see from starters all the time is doing the extra work like that when it's not pertaining to them. He's just standing there catching snaps. That just speaks volumes. I'm sure you have 100 stories like this about
Armani.
Yeah,
you know, he's got a good family. You know, I mean, he's got a good dad, good mom. You know, and he comes from a good group of people. He was raised right, and he's come in and been that way every day from us. You know, as much success as he's had struggles too. We all do. I mean, when you're playing that position, it's hard. But I'll tell you what, he's always stayed positive. He's always been a good teammate, and you know, he's always done what was for the betterment of the group. So. Again, he keeps that, and with all the talent he has, he's going to have a good life.
You mentioned a depth coach, and it's a huge thing, especially defensively. You mentioned 66 snaps in the game. No D lineman had more than 38 of them. That's been a big problem in the past. And still, to what degree is there room for improvement in your twos?
Oh, there's a lot of room for improvement in the twos. You know, I thought the corners did a pretty good job the other night. They got challenged and did a good job. You know, we'd like to see a little bit of improvement on the twos in the safety spot and the linebacker spot. You know, D-line, we got a couple of guys that are bubble. They're not quite there twos yet. A couple of JUCO guys we brought in, Ezenois and Johns. Those two guys, they need to get themselves on the field, but they're only going to do it if they get better in practice, you know. So they're guys that got to develop their motors and get going. But as the season progresses, if we can add those two guys into that full rotation D-tackle mix, you know, if we can start getting, you know, more production out of, you know, guys like Rodney Jones and Holloway at the defensive end spot, and, you know, if, you know, Miles Plummer can continue to show and progress and grow and get in there and help out and that stuff. You see Demetrius Gibbs and Greg Francis, and they're close. They're right there. They're playing well on special teams. But if those guys can continually grow and get better and be a valid option to just in a normal rotation, not just when you're up, it'll help us huge down the stretch.
The value of those reps for the two deep, as far in your eyes, because it's one thing to get the reps in practice, obviously, but not just the two deep guys, but guys like Tylee Collins, who you think will contribute down the line in special teams in the punt return game, to get those snaps in game of what it's like to make that decision, to call a Peter call for the rest of the guys
exactly.
That get away and those kind of things. How valuable is that?
It's
in game?
Huge. I mean, when you're doing it under the lights, when you're doing it in a real game time situation, when there's some nerves out there and you got to manage it, and you know, you got to manage the unexpected, there's no whistle and let's do it over.
Right.
It's game day. So, again, when you're a freshman right out of high school, or, you know, again, if you're a younger guy that, you know, hasn't started before, you need those game time reps, and it's hard to get.
Tony Sanchez Show, live from Born and Raised. We're in Henderson this week off of Eastern. They're also in Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango. Back with a lot more. We're going to talk about the Prairie A&M game coming up this Saturday at 7 o'clock at Sam Boyd. And this is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Back here at Born and Raised for the Tony Sanchez Show. Come into Findlay Toyota for the largest selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles to choose from. Findlay Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Russ Langer here with head coach Tony Sanchez of the Rebels, who are now 1-1 after their victory over UTEP. Caleb Herring is here. Steve Cofield is here. Prairie View A&M this Saturday at 7 o'clock. And, coach, it would seem that the biggest factor to deal with here is speed. They've got players at skill positions who can flat out fly, and sometimes for some teams that can pose matchup problems.
Yeah, their tailback Tucker's a really, really good player. I mean, he's he's a little guy, kind of like Lex. Lex is actually probably a little bit bigger. This guy, I mean, on the stout line, I think he's 5'7", 165 pounds. Legit 4'3 guys, rushed for over 500 yards 2 weeks in a row. Well, 500 yards combined in the last 2 weeks. But he's dynamic. He's a guy getting space. I don't care who you're playing. He's going to make some plays. So we got to do a really good job of hemming him up. And then the issues we had early in the game with the quarterback run game, it was tough. And their quarterback is a big guy, very similar, a lot thicker. He's about 230 pounds, so kind of more like an Armani frame, maybe an inch or two shorter. But he's a good player. He's got a live arm. older guy, been around for a long time. So those two guys really make that offense go. So we got to do a really good job of containing them. And then defensively, you know, they're really aggressive. I mean, you're going to see a lot of stunts, a lot of movement up front. Normally they play with a one high safety, so you get, you know, a form of cover one and cover three. So again, our guys just got to be really mature. We got to go ahead and dissect it early on, see what big play opportunities we have while we're running the football, and then defensively just do a good job of eliminating that back from, you know, being a big playmaker.
They have a pretty, on the stat sheet at least, a pretty balanced attack. So it would seem, though, from what you're saying, that the running game is going to be key to stopping them. It looks like things pretty much blossom from that running game.
It is. I mean, very similar to us in that sense. You know, if you can be physical and run the ball, then you're going to get some advantageous coverages to throw against. We got to do a good job of making sure that, you know, we make them one-dimensional. We don't want to allow them to create the balance that they want to have. We need to make them uncomfortable.
Well, the defense has given up a lot of yards. That can lead to some shootouts with the kind of offense that they have and some track meets. They did take Rice to the very last play in week one.
Yeah, you know what? They should have beat Rice. They snapped the ball over the punter's head for a safety, and that's really the difference in the game right there. So, I mean, they had the game pretty much in control. They've had some snap issues more than once, but that was a big one. They had the lead. They were kind of in control of the game. They snapped it over the guy's head for a safety, and then they punted from the safety, and Rice went down and kicked field goal and ended up winning the game. So that was a big difference in that. And, you know, and then this last week they played Sam Houston. They're a good team. I think they're ranked fourth in, you know, 1AA or whatever. And you know, gave them all they could handle. So they're a good team. We can't take them lightly.
The turnovers. I noticed that they have coughed it up a few times this season. Has that been a point of emphasis? I know turnover battle is always a big thing with coaches.
We've talked about it quite a bit. You know, they have put the ball on the ground a little bit and have thrown a couple picks, and we've got to make sure we try to create those. And they're dangerous on defense, too. Last week they had a pick six, and so they've created their own turnovers. So they're athletic. I mean, they're going to be more athletic in the skill area than UTEP was. You know, we'll find out about the trenches. We'll see that once we get in there. But they definitely got some good football players.
Yeah, we talking about the speed on defense, and usually, of course, Lex or Armani, when they get some space, they're gone. But Prairie View A&M seems to have a good deal of catch-up speed in that secondary.
They do. I mean, they're a fast group. You know, again, I'll take Lex against anybody in the open field, but we got to get them there first. You know, that's the big thing, right? If we can get them there, we'll be all right. But, you know, again, you know, they're a prideful group. They've played three games, one. The other two that they've lost have both been really good games. I know they feel like they could have won either of those games. When you watch it on film, they probably could have. So they're going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, you know, coming out here. And it's a big deal for them, you know, coming out and playing us. And we have to make sure we're as focused as we were last week and we were week one, and play a good four quarters, take care of the details, you know, protect the ball and create turnovers.
The Rebels improved depth. We touched on it before, rotating guys in and out. An advantage in the heat versus a small school that might not feature that kind of depth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, if depth is to our advantage, we need to take advantage of it. You know, we've got guys, and, you know, we'll stick to our normal rotations, and hopefully that does work in our favor.
So the focus always is going to be on the Rebels. Do what you got to do. Do it the right way. We talked about it here tonight a little bit. This week of practice, how's the guys looking out there?
You know, it's been a good week of practice. Again, that's the one thing that, you know, to this point, knock on wood, our guys have been phenomenal about, is just showing up, punching in their time card, and going to work. You know, not being too high, not being low, just showing up and taking care of the details. And we've had a good, energetic practice all week, and the guys have done a good job of being workmanlike.
For a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales representatives, come to Finley Toyota. We'll be back with our remaining moments on the Tony Sanchez Show right after this. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield. Alrighty, Finley Toyota invites you to experience the price point of a used car with all the benefits that come with a new Toyota. Ask us about certified pre-owned Toyotas today. Russ Langer here, Caleb Herring, and we have Steve Cofield, Chris Hernandez setting us up. Chris set us up in record time today. Came flying in here, and they didn't, I mean, it's like the white tornado. Done. You know what? Dinner is on us. Don't worry about that.
By the way, I didn't want to freak you out on this, and I know you're not looking ahead, but looking around the Mountain West, some teams off to a pretty good start. Surprising start, too.
Hey, you know what? We all watch it, see how our guys are doing each week. I'll tell you what, Hawaii's off to a great start. Boise looks really good. San Diego State's always really tough. And
Utah State,
they played
toe-to-toe
Michigan State well.
With Michigan State. Yep. And then
New Mexico's actually playing decent football, too, right now. I mean, it's there's a lot of good ones. And
game to watch this week. So CSU struggles first couple of games, then comes back from a big deficit. Carter Samuels, the quarterback, throws for like 380 against Arkansas, and now they're taking on Florida. So
yeah, that's a tough schedule for a Mountain West team. But man, good for them. Coach Bobo, he's a great guy. So I was happy for him to go out there, and it's good for our conference too to go to an SEC school and get a big win. That was good.
So this Saturday, 7:00, Prairie View A&M. Oh, also special teams. Hayes Hicken averaged just over 56 yards a punt, and that seems like the Rebels are really on the right path for a special team.
No doubt. I called those guys out a little last week about ball placement. They really put us in bad situations, and they shut me up this week, so good for them.
It's always good to go into a special teams meeting as a kicker and know that you kind of got one.
They were smiling at me right when I walked in.
So the Rebels will try to go 2-1, and it's obviously you don't want to look too far ahead, but that the following week when they're at Arkansas State, I mean, this would appear to be, obviously every game is big, as we know, but this one's going to be especially big getting ready for that next road game.
Yeah, we got to learn how to be successful 2 weeks in a row. We got to learn how to take care of the little things and, beat the people we're supposed to beat. And but it's never easy because it's a physical, violent sport, so you have to mentally be ready to go and play a great game of football. So we're focused, we're locked in, and I know our guy is going to go out there and give us a great effort.
Anything on injuries you can tell us?
From Learfield, this
right now we got Sitakosta that's questionable and Zach Singer. So right now Jack Reynolds looks like he may get the start at center this week. We'll see what happens in the next 48 hours. But if so, next man in, and we roll from there.
All right. That'll wrap it up. Caleb, good to see you.
It's always good to be here. Always good to chat with Coach and get excited for another Rebel win on Saturday.
Steve, great to have you.
Yep, time to get some sliders.
There you go.
And,
go Rebs.
And Tony.
Again.
We'll see you Saturday. All right, that's it from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, as the Rebels prepare for this Saturday's game, third game of the season, second home game of the season, and we invite you to come out. It's a 7:00 kickoff. Come out and tailgate. Yeah, it's going to be warm, but the sun's going to go down. It's an hour later. It's going to be a little bit cooler anyway.
That'll be great out there. I mean, you know how it is. When once the sun goes down, it'll be a beautiful atmosphere, chance to tailgate a little bit and come out and watch the Rebels.
All right. That'll do it. From Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road, we're in Henderson on Eastern, and we appreciate you joining us. The Rebels taking on Prairie View A&M this Saturday. Thanks for joining us. This is the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield.
On the Rebels Sports Network from Learfield, this has been the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenley Toyota. The preceding has been a